All right, well, welcome to Spin Tunes 18, round 3, the Tell Me What You Want round, where it's an I want song for a musical that doesn't otherwise exist. We have 21 competitors, I believe. No, that's not true.
I think there are 21 songs total, including Shadows.
13 actual songs.
Okay. This would have been so easy for me to look up in advance, but instead it's going to be immortalized on this podcast. Well, anyhow, just sort of like looking back during our round 2 podcast, I was sort of patting the judges on the back for the round 1 rankings, which were mostly devoid of the wild discrepancies we've seen in other competitions. And I noticed the biggest discrepancy in rankings for round 1 was, you know, a clearly organic difference in the scores between Chumpy and I for the Galashi song. And then I patted us on the back even more heartily for that, since it indicated that Chumpy and I were not a voting block, you know. But then the round 2 rankings ended up being noticeably more discrepant, with some extremely polarizing songs from Flubububub and the Newfangled Trolleys. And you might even fit Jim of Seattle, Chaz Rock, Stacking Theory, and Szymanski into that polarizing category too, to a lesser degree. And then you look at the round 2 rankings for Chaz Rock, Flubububub, and Szymanski, and Chumpy and I do look like a voting block in that one. And I am going to be very adamant in my claim that these rankings were also sincere and organic. I cannot suggest that the rankings of Chumpy and I were completely unaffected by our discussions of the songs during these podcasts, but that should be fine. You know, we've had suggestions in the past that we should finalize our rankings prior to the podcast. And there was a time when I thought that was an idea worth exploring, but I don't feel that way anymore. I mean, I think we should be able to talk this stuff out. And if Chumpy thinks that my low ranking of a song was based on a misinterpretation or something, then I should let his advice influence my willingness to re-listen and reevaluate any song. How did you feel about the rankings?
Pretty similar. I understand the discrepancies with the Newfangled Trolleys and how that song hit different people in different ways. So I can definitely understand why we had that discrepancy. And just to talk about us influencing each other during the podcast, I think that's a good thing. I think a lot of people talk about the songs prior to the judging. I don't know if other judges do it, but I think it's healthy. Often I don't get songs, and it's great when someone can kind of explain them to me and why they like them, and it sort of helps me better appreciate them. So it usually improves my rankings of songs. Rarely do I like a song and am I talked out of liking it because, you know, I heard someone's negative opinion.
Yeah.
I think also between doing the podcast and writing your reviews and ranking as well, you listen to the songs more and you can change your mind about them. Which has happened to me several times. So I don't think you should have your rankings finalized before you start.
And it's worth noting that this time around, we're recording pretty early in the process. It is now Wednesday as we record.
It's all my fault.
So these particular rankings may be a bit sort of more first impression-y, more than usual.
Yeah, I haven't actually heard any of the songs. I'm just basing my reviews on the titles. What sounds like a neat title and... who I like.
This is going to be brilliant.
Going back to discrepancies in songs, I was super happy to listen to your podcast last week and to find out that Al didn't like Jim of Seattle because I thought I was alone. I just thought I was missing something completely. And no, I'm not alone. It's great.
I think that's totally fair. I think all of that's totally fair. Polarizing, I don't think, is the right way to even put that. But there are a lot of strong personalities, I think, that come through in a lot of these songs. A lot of people could take that different ways. Okay, well, I also want to give special props to Third Cat. Now, Third Cat noticed an error in the round 2 scoring, but not just any error. It was an error that, when corrected, results in his elimination when otherwise he would have been safe. Now, it turns out Third Cat is safe anyway due to Micah's intervention and also because the Newfangled Trolleys didn't submit a song. So there was a reinstatement that would have fallen to Third Cat anyway. But the point is that he selflessly called attention to this issue, believing that it would eliminate him in favor of another band. And he did it because it was the right thing to do and because it was the honest and noble thing to do. So thank you, Third Cat. I see what you did. I appreciate and admire what you did. You're an excellent guy and an excellent musician. And from what I hear, you're probably one of the best cats in your household. I'm guessing somewhere in the top three. That's happened once before,
yeah,
too,
it has.
Where Edric Helleen, because there was some sort of a discrepancy with, I think, Tommy's rankings.
That's right.
Of the songs, and like it showed up in one of the lists as the order in which the songs showed up in Bandcamp instead of the rankings that he actually gave them.
That's right.
But yeah, really cool to do that. And good to know that we are being audited. So. Because there's a precedent for her.
For arithmetic being wrong in spin tunes? Yeah.
Yeah. Freaking artists. I should introduce our very, very special guest. It's Leonie, who's one of the judges, also better known as Hot Pink Halo, and also known as Crumpart. Leonie has submitted 38 songs to different song fights. And she's also done some of the other competitions and some of the other side fights. And she also does fabulous art. She's done some wonderful videos for some of the Songfight Live video feeds. And also she has a lot of great art at crumpart.net. Welcome all the way from Ireland, Leonie. Thanks for joining us.
With this beautiful Cork accent that I have. It's very convincing.
This American audience might not be able to tell the difference anyway.
It's probably true. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, it's partly American. It's mostly Russian bots who are listening, but we do have some American listeners. So yeah, we were discussing earlier before the podcast about you, how you came to start doing song fights.
Oh, my husband is Toshiro, and he has been song fighting for a long time, him and Gizzo, who is Stacking Theory. And so, like, early days, like 2005 or so. And I've always liked music, but I just never really thought that I could do it before, for whatever reason. I don't know why. And then we moved to Ireland, and then we moved to Cork. And at Cork City Library, they've got a lot of music books, because Rory Gallagher, the famous blues guitarist, was from Cork. So when he died, they set up this big music library at Cork. And I came home one day and I made an Instagram story post that I thought nobody watched. Like, I was playing guitar and I was playing it very, very, very badly at the time. And I thought that nobody would watch it, but so many people watched it. And Giz watched it and he said we should join Songfight. So we started songfighting. I think there was a Songfight due like 2 days later or something. So we scrambled something together. And then we ended up not doing stuff together. We've been doing stuff separately, but it's been super fun. I think his band name around about that time was Gizzo versus the 17,445. And I'm the 17,445.
Nice.
Okay.
There was a theme in Songfight for a while, right? It was band versus band when they would collaborate together. That's an old school Songfightism, I think.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, the 17,445 is the 17,445 kilometers between Cork and Melbourne.
Got it.
Wow. So another songfighter who didn't find out through Frontalot. That's great.
It happens. I mean,
it doesn't matter, but it's neat to get one of these unicorns again. But also, like I remember from your videos that your art, I saw you do some very, really cool printmaking. And I know that you're not just printmaking, but other things too. And it seems like such a, I don't know how to put it. Like, printmaking seems like a couple of extra steps when a lot of people might just draw or...
That's exactly what it is. And that's exactly why people who like printmaking.
Okay, cool. I mean, it's your results turn out wonderful, and I would recommend that anybody go ahead and check out your videos, which have shown you creating art in the moment, and they're a delight to watch. But yeah, it's It's excessive. I used to do line of cuts, but I never got around to actually, you know, sort of going to a press.
I've got a press right in front of me right now. It's covered with a duvet so that the big metal plate in it doesn't bounce sound everywhere.
But yeah, so how does one come around to doing that instead of painting, instead of just canvases or whatever?
My high school art teacher was a printmaker. So we did printmaking from like 13 years old at high school. And I thought everybody did printmaking. And then the boys' school came over to do a life drawing class one day. And they're like, "What's that?" And pointed at the press. And we're like, "It's a printing press, you dickheads." "What do you think it is?" And that's when I learned that printmaking wasn't normal.
Okay. Yeah. It's not as portable.
No. Well, it can be, but
yeah,
usually not.
All right. Well, so I had a chance for my rants. Does anybody else have any rants or anything else that they want to cover before we get into the actual reviews?
Nothing
no
here.
No rants, really. But okay. Before I start saying mean things about people, I would like to remind everybody that I actually like all the songs.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this round sucks because you know that we're going to wipe out, I think, what, everybody except for four?
That's right.
Competitors. And, you know, it's always a huge slash away and you're always losing, you know, people making songs that you enjoy. But this is going to be particularly brutal, I think. And we're going to be putting, you know, in the bottom nine songs that we enjoyed a lot this round, which is a shame, and it's a drag. So just thinking that, you know, you're going to get around to ranking somebody five and you're going to be thinking like, well, how is this person not in the top four? And the only reason is because the top four is busy with other songs that you loved.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be a drag.
This is definitely not the round to phone it in or play it safe.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, for the reviews, though, too, I started out, I didn't do this for all of them, but I started out noting at the beginning of each of my reviews what was wanted and who wanted it. And then at the end of my notes for these songs, for these reviews, I also kind of mentioned whether or not I would want to see the rest of this musical. So it's up to you guys whether or not you want to entertain that sort of a question too, but I'm certainly going to bring it up.
Cool.
I'm glad you did that because I didn't. So I probably would have forgot who wanted what.
I noted if I sort of related with what the singer or the protagonist wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did that as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get started with the reviews.